So nefarious. So nefarious.
Get it?
Octavarius. So nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh. He'll make you cry. But most importantly, he's going to save you. No matter what he's for himself, he's got a lot to say. Ask him for my
So what's up with Dark Forces 2?
And that's how I get everybody off track so we can start the podcast. Hey, everybody.
Oh, what the?
This is weird.
I guess we're not live. Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Just those of you who are listening to this podcast a week after the fact. This is the first podcast in quite some time that is not live. We're having insurmountable technical difficulties at this time, so we apologize for those of you who are not listening live. For the rest of you, for everybody, I guess, welcome to episode 68 of the Octavarius podcast. And let's not waste any time. Let's start off at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's B-Wo.
Hey, it's LP.
Hey, it's Cloud.
Hey, it's Scott.
Look, it's Keith.
Hey, it's Lauren.
Yeah, it's Tins.
It's Nick.
It's Gustavi.
And Mark.
And I guess we're all ready to start the fuck!
What? Start the fuck? What's wrong, Tins?
Mailbag. Mailbag. No. Forgot the damn mailbag.
We really need a record scratch.
Oh, wait. I'm sitting on it again.
Oh,
it's my bad,
Mark,
you guys.
Mark, it is ginormous butt.
It's true. Here, let me just... this mailbag, it's a card, and it's got a blue balloon, and it says, it's a mail.
It's a mail?
M-A-I-L, yeah.
Oh.
For our mailbag.
That's pretty good.
I like that.
It's pretty hard to read because it's like all covered in drool and something slimy that smells like mushed up carrots.
Gross.
I'm holding up to the microphone so you guys can smell.
People don't send that stuff to us.
And it says, ah, goo goo god, ah, goo doo.
Mark, I can't understand you. It's just baby talk.
Goo 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 that.
You got that?
Wait, you said that.
Wait.
Yeah.
Can you say the second line again? I almost had it.
Well, goo god.
Is it spelled phonetically?
I mean, more or less, yeah.
Is there any pictures?
There is a picture of a doggy.
No. Aw, great.
Does it have four legs?
Three. Oh, well, there might be a tail or a fourth leg.
What the hell is this letter about?
Seems like it was written by a baby.
By babies, for babies.
Aw, baby.
Boof, boof.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess we're talking about babies.
But it definitely ended with goo gog that.
Maybe that means, like, what's up with that?
Yeah, it's probably baby for what's up with that, I have to assume.
So
only if people could hear the expressions on our face while you read that.
Smiles are silent.
So are frowns, Mark.
Whatever.
So we're talking about babies. You know, I actually have a great thing that's happened in my life recently because of babies. And it's my most successful YouTube video thus far in life, which was my translation, my good friend Mike Norris, friend of Octavarius, writer for Octavarius occasionally, Mike Norris, and I came up with the idea of making the twin babies talking in the kitchen video that was widely popular about a month ago.
It was widely popular.
Yeah, well, about a week and a half after it was released, we released our translation of their gibberish talk in the kitchen, and ours is about them calling each other gay, and two babies in a kitchen calling each other gay is my most successful impact on the internet.
Keith, what would you call a gay baby?
A gayby.
There you go.
It's entitled Gaybies. If you'd like to look it up, you should probably just type Octavarius Improv and find our actual channel, but it's titled Babies Talking to Each Other About Being Gay. The title is the joke.
Our second most successful YouTube video ever, I believe.
It's really funny.
It's really probably funny. Mean.
Some people are upset about it.
babies don't understand that all the time, though. Like, they don't know what to mean.
At the end, we do say, sorry, actual babies, because we did use them to fuel our humor without their permission, but since they pretty much became public domain once that video got that popular.
They became a meme, yeah.
Every YouTube video is public domain.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. Although, when I first tried to put it up, it said that it was not allowed to be posted because of something with College Humor. I guess maybe because College Humor had uploaded a video, YouTube recognizes certain bigger companies' videos, so they don't let you steal it.
No, I mean, I don't think any YouTube video is public domain. In fact, I'm sure it's not, because when we were creating ours, we had to specify what our licensing would be.
But
by default, it's copyright.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Sorry, that was wrong of me to say that it's public domain. Sorry, but it is out
there.
Sorry,
babies.
And the public can show it. Like, if you put a YouTube if you put a video on YouTube, it can be shown on television, on someone else's show for their benefit, without giving you any money.
Mm-hmm.
They can do that.
Or you can call babies gay.
Yes, you can do that. Yeah.
The video can be altered.
Nay, you should do that.
And you can claim that those babies are screaming about the boners they get, which happens in my video, Gabies.
So I really don't have that much experience with babies. I mean, I've got two younger brothers, but when they were babies, I was still a youngling, so I didn't have... I've never had the responsibility of really being near a baby for a long period of time.
You are known as not a father.
Right. But I figure other people probably have, significantly younger siblings or, like a baby cousin that they've had to take care of or some bullshit like that.
Right? I have a nephew.
Who recently replaced you.
You love
recently
your nephew.
Recently replaced me as Nick Makula. I am now an orphan, I feel like. No.
What does that mean? Why are you an orphan?
Well, it's actually really nice.
being an orphan and
well,
all.
Well, no, like, let's just say, like, you know, I love my parents, but let's just say, like...
Let's just say you love your parents.
Let's just say that, like... You look at two children who are now, I guess, adults. One of them is married, makes a lot of money.
The other one's a goofball.
The other one's a goofball who every Sunday night just runs amok with his friends at a theater. It's kind of nice that they don't have to worry about things like, what is Nick doing with his life? Is he happy? Does he have a relationship? Can he iron his pants yet? They don't have to ask, you know? Does he need another sock drawer? Does he know how to roll up? Does he do his laundry?
I hope these are questions that they constantly pester
they do.
I feel like if one of your biggest concerns is, can my son iron his pants? That's a win.
Right?
Like, if that's my kid's biggest problem...
I was the good kid. It was great. Father. I got... Well, my sister, like, broke my parents in, so I got away with murder...
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I didn't really drink in high school.
Choice of words.
You said that really seriously.
Secrets.
Wait, whatever happened to our high school friend Jerry?
Shut up. He's fine.
Yeah, like Lauren said, we all do remember the time you tried to, enslave your parents with Ewok figurines.
To be fair, it was fun, and I feel like kind of feel like
slavery's fun.
Like, okay, you give you two choices. Like, oh no, the daughter of our family ruined the car and destroyed the refrigerator and the CD player, but she had a high school party. But we can't really... I mean, she's in trouble, but our son just tried to enslave us with Ewok. He's fine.
Hey, Amanda,
get him a
cake.
Let's
get drunk and drive your car into the refrigerator.
Friday!
But, my sister has a son. His name is Cash. He's awesome.
That's a great name.
It's great. Yeah. His name is James Cash Polk, and they call him Cash for short. And this kid is hilarious. He can't really talk yet, but he smiles a lot. And he weighs like 21 pounds, which is really heavy for
That's
like
a big baby.
Yeah. How old is this baby?
8 months, 9 months old.
How old? What's the top age for baby? Like, is it, like, one?
I don't know, because, like, when you're a parent, you tuck in months forever.
Yeah.
So they're always babies. Like, I'm always my mama's baby.
Yeah, I feel like it's not a baby once it starts to toddle.
Like, then it's a toddler.
It goes into toddler yeah. Yeah.
He who toddles is a toddler.
So maybe
it's no longer a baby.
So maybe it's not defined by age. It's just defined by developmental growth. You can, if you start toddling, you escape from level baby.
You literally run from babyhood. Yeah. Well, or toddle from it.
You evolve from baby into you toddler. Level up.
Not to segue, I just saw a documentary on this 16-year-old or 18-year-old girl that still functioned and looked like a 12-month-old.
Mm-hmm. What do we mean she looked like a 12-month-old? Did she have like pudgy thighs and pudgy arms?
12-month-old? A year old, I guess. No, like she just looked like a little baby. Like, she, well, I mean, looked like a toddler, I guess.
She had like a disease.
She was tiny?
Yeah. She was like small and she just looked like...
Could
and
she talk?
Not really. I guess she could... She still... Like her family was talking about how she could convey emotions and she knew how to like... express her wants, and they were even saying that because she's a teenager now, technically, that she was like, you know, she would get rebellious at times, but she couldn't speak and she couldn't function like a teenager because she looked and thought like a baby.
Is she like potty trained?
I don't know. She was in a stroller. They carried her, and I don't think I don't know if she was potty trained or not. But
I've seen that on TLC as well.
I've seen that when I took my VHS of Jack and I turned it upside down and tried to play.
That movie, Jack.
Never miss an opportunity to name drop Jack.
Be sure to go on the website and check out the post tagged with that movie, Jack.
A lot of people dislike babies. I don't dislike. You don't like. Why don't you like babies, Lisa? Why do they freak you out?
I don't dislike. I love looking at babies. I love admiring babies. I wouldn't babysit for like infants because I'm scared that they could. Keith and I are talking about this. Like they could die easily just if they turn the wrong way in their sleep or like I don't know. Just they freak me out. And B, I'm just freaked out about the fact of, like having babies. It's like, oh, it lives inside you. It's weird. It's still weird for me.
Technically, it's a parasite during that time.
Yeah,
essentially.
But if other people have babies, I think it's the cutest thing in the world.
It's
like,
a big thing for me. Other people's babies. Do you love other people's babies?
Me too.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily want one for me for a little bit.
Yeah, right? It, like, it freaks me out personally. But like, oh, if you have a baby, like super cute, good job.
Good job. I feel like one of the best things. I think Keith and Nick are in a great position of being uncles.
Yeah, we get to spoil the kid, and then when he starts whining, I just give him back to my sister, and I walk away.
Yeah, I don't want to
have any
care
of those
it.
Problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Baby problems.
They're
barely human.
Although, I feel like, I don't know if I've told all you this, I feel like I have a special power with babies. With babies that don't belong to me specifically. I don't own any babies, so I guess I don't know. I'm thinking about owning
You are drawn to them. Anytime I'm around babies with you, you move to them.
The babies move to him, too. I have, too, bared witness to this.
I don't know why, but for whatever reason, for the most part, with any baby that's probably 6 months old or older, once they're, you know, able to notice things and smile and react to things, I find that the best thing to do to a baby that you don't know or is upset that you don't know and you just see is just smile at them and just show them a bunch of positive affection or whatever. Just give them positive attention because they don't really understand why someone they don't know is being so extremely nice in this awful, evil world that they're exposed to all the time. Especially like in a grocery store, I love to see babies, especially if they're upset. I'll try to position myself in a way that the baby can see me, but the parents don't know. Not that I don't want the parents to know, I just think they're going to react really strangely to me.
Yeah, they're wondering why this tall dude's making faces at
me. I've also seen this happen many a time in a crowded Red Line train.
Yep.
And I'll make it so that I can see the baby, and as soon as I can see the baby and the baby sees me, it's game over. Like, I'll smile at the baby will enjoy it, and then I will see, once I become obscured and, like, move to a different spot, the baby will follow me, and I want to keep looking, or he or she will want to keep looking at me, because if I ever look at it, him or her, I'll smile and wave or make a goofy face, but mostly, it's just smiling. Just plain, nice smiling.
I wonder if it's because you have such big eyes, and you have a big smile too. So it seems like when you smile or when you you know, give your attention to something or someone, you feel it more so because your eyes are bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
I do light up my eyes. I wonder if that's part of it.
You have wonderfully expressive eyes and mouth.
I feel like, it's also, you know, like most people, if you're a baby in a grocery store, if you're a baby in the middle of a crowded red line or something, nobody else is trying to make that effort to you know, nobody's going out of their way to be happy for a baby. Everybody's just going through the grind of the day. People are surly. People are listening to their headphones. They're zoning out. And if, you know, non-happy expressions might look real weird to a baby. They could be going around, like, they don't know. They don't know what the world is like. They don't know how to process this at all. So they're going through, like, a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas style world where just shit is flying at them that they don't understand. People are angry. There are creatures that they've never seen before.
I feel like Rugrats didn't show that well enough.
Sometimes
the Fear and Loathing part.
Just the fear of larger people. I feel like Disney shows that a lot scarier. Like adults are a lot less friendly.
Yeah, I remember Rugrats had done that with some things, like new things that were very unfamiliar. Like didn't
when Tommy went to high school, where his mom taught high school.
Yeah,
and he got taken around by the cool guy.
Little dude,
his sunglasses.
Yeah,
little dude.
Yeah.
That was the name of the episode. Yep. Little dude.
You know,
dude.
You know what it is more so. It's like I feel like a baby normally experiences the world like Baby Bart did in that episode of The Simpsons, where Baby Bart just gets his new clown bed.
And you should die before you wake.
Just anything that is in any way unfamiliar or foreign to them, they're going to process as a demon.
Yeah.
So you think babies see the world like that MGMT video Kids? Yeah. Like everything is just spooky and scary.
Not unlike it.
I think the first time you see things, and you know, we don't know what babies actually think, but... Even if you look at a tree that's the least bit scary, and you're a baby, you don't know what trees are. You only see that it is such a bizarre shape, and you can only, I guess babies can only really interpret mood, perceived mood of things is what I would imagine. They know that that's smiley, colorful things are happy, and that they can recognize, you know, harsh tones. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who I was watching this with, and maybe just myself. I was watching a baby documentary, not babies, but a different one. And apparently babies are born with the innate ability to understand inflection of every language.
Whoa.
But it's only after they become conditioned to one language that they forget how to, like, they can hear in French, if any baby at all, French, Spanish, German, whatever, they can understand inflection in foreign languages, because at that time, they aren't even listening to language. They only hear sound.
So whereas we might think everything sounds angry in German, babies can tell it's German love.
They can tell the difference, but after they become conditioned to just one language... Their mind works to forget other languages to make forget understanding that to grow with the language it's being taught, which is why if you have a baby that you're teaching both English and Spanish from birth, it's more likely they'll retain more because they won't they'll already be used to listening to Spanish.
Seems like a computer that like a blank computer that hasn't had Windows installed on it yet.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's...
We should install Windows on more babies.
That'll crash too much.
I thought that was so neat that
really cool.
They're just inherently able to understand mood and such from things. But then once after, I don't know if it was 6 weeks or whatever, they just start only being able to understand English.
Do you feel like babies can tell things on like a... I don't know if I want to say like an ESP type level.
Energy level.
But can you feel the energy? I mean, if we want to get that hippy dippy, I'm cool going there.
I know. I feel when like babies understand that I'm looking at them and I'm happy. And they do too. And they laugh back. They'll even laugh just from a smile.
Even actually, do you ever try something more complex with a baby?
The more.
Like to flirt with
the
baby?
The more strength. Yeah.
I don't know.
They love when you clap.
Yeah.
The clapping? Clapping?
Yeah.
The more I do with my face. Actually, the more confused they get on whether or not it's positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they understand goofy yet, because they understand smiles because it's just simple. But once I do something like a goofy face, I have to go back to a smile because as soon as I become goofy, they immediately just they look inquisitive.
I think it's the same thing. Like they don't know what that is yet. Like kids don't know that clowns are supposed to be goofy until they understand that they're not demon lords.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
I actually saw a really cool thing on smiling. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, and this it works for adults too, but adults just have so much more going on that they can't necessarily like appreciate it. But they did. There were a couple of really cool things that came out of it. Like this, they did a study where they would just have someone like smile at you, mm-hmm. and then they would also so they'd like do a test with a bunch of people. So half the people got someone smiling, and the other half of the people got like money. It didn't turn out to be real money, but like they thought they were getting real money.
Nice.
And the amount of endorphins released in your brain, apparently, when someone smiles at you, are approximately the same as getting $25,000.
Nice.
That's great.
Are you kidding me?
No, that's what. Well, okay, it was 16,000 something pounds.
Did they do the test? Because I've seen things like that before where. Did they do the test of like a beautiful person smiling at you and then like a not so beautiful ugly, like an uggo?
Their whole premise was that even uggos' smiles are valuable. Smiling in general.
I saw a study though that said that babies can recognize pretty people versus ugly people.
Yeah.
They can. Yes. And they do.
And they like pretty people over uggos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Symmetry. Yeah. Symmetry
is sexy.
Key.
The other thing that was really cool out of it was that we can tell like when someone's fake smiling at you.
Mm-hmm.
We do that by smiling faintly ourselves to see if we mimic that expression, does it feel fake to us? And the way they figured it out was like if you have people look at faces of sincere and insincere smiles, they will get it right like 85-90% of the time. Mm-hmm. If you put a pencil in their mouth so they can't smile, they'll be like, it's basically the same as if they guessed randomly.
Whoa.
Babies are totally uninhibited about mimicking you.
So if you put a pencil in a baby's mouth,
he'll eat it.
But they would be able to tell anyway, huh?
No, babies probably wouldn't. I think babies are so free with their like mimicry and engagement with the world around them. But they probably do that not just with smiling, but with a lot of things. Like, they'll just sort of try it out themselves and be like, I feel happy.
Perhaps that's why they don't understand my goofy faces. Maybe their look of confusion is just their attempt at making that face to understand it.
Yeah, like, they don't know why it would look that way or, like, how you'd get your face to be like that yet.
Because I find the more open mouth my smile becomes, the more open mouth theirs would become, too. If, like, you do, like, a... sort of like you're laughing or nodding and saying "uh-huh" type of smile to a baby, they will then open their mouth and laugh normally. And if you just keep saying "uh-huh," they'll be thrilled because you're showing them positive reaction on what they're doing, so they know to do that more.
Yeah, and I don't know if you read that study that they did in the 50s in Russia, but they did this experiment, and this is going off of energy and positive energy, where they had two, like, they just grabbed orphans, because this was the Cold War, it didn't matter.
Whatever, none of this matters.
This is total Soviet. They grabbed, like, baby orphans, and then they gave, they had, like people giving them, like, love and attention and all that stuff. And the other one, they just had, like, machines that are just giving them everything that they need. So, like, they get food, they get change, you know, but there was no affection given to the children.
Human contact?
And the babies...
It wasn't machines.
Not machines, but, like...
It was folks acting mechanically, almost. Like, they would not interact, they would just change the baby, leave it, go.
Exactly. And then the babies that didn't get affection died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They just died.
It's, like, within, like, 4 days or something.
Yeah.
Like, just... What?
They, yeah.
It's a fact.
They broke
it. Everything needs love. Like,
yeah, cats, dogs.
And they did, well, they did the same experiment on monkeys in America, because we're awesome.
That's my
little kill babies. And they did with like little monkeys where they had like a machine It was just like a little jagged chain machine that would just give out monkey, like monkey milk or whatever. And,
or whatever.
You know, whatever that they had.
Yeah, then, like horchata or something.
And then they had the same monkey milk, but with like a stuffed, but with like a, like with fabric on it and like a face. And so the monkeys always would go to the felt one. Even if the metal one was giving only giving milk and the felt one was not, they would go get the milk from the machine one and then go back to the felt one because it was safe. It was for safe comfort. And comfort and, and nurturing.
You hear stories all the time of animals and humans where it's a couple that's been together or two pets that have been together their whole lives. One of them dies and the other one just dies a couple days later for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I have two dogs at my aunt's house, and one of them passed away last year, Sharkon. Costello met Sharkon.
It's a giant bear of a dog.
Yeah. And Gunnar grew up with him. I found him in an alley when he was just a puppy.
Two of some of the greatest dog names I've ever heard, by the way.
Sharkon and Gunnar.
Yeah, Sharkon and
Gunnar. They were German, German shepherds. Who you spoke German to, if I'm
Yeah, we trained him in German.
Nice.
How many guns were on each dog?
No, at any given time,
so
like
what
zero.
Would you be like, Raus!
No, it's, let's see, Zietz, Zietz is sit, Zietz, Platz is to lie down.
Yeah.
Wow. Aus, Aus means no.
Is that supposed to be better, or you guys just thought it was funny?
No, it is better.
It's better because it's harsher and it's more definitive to
it. I know police, a lot of times, police train their German shepherds in German.
Yeah, all the time.
So then, offending criminals can't just tell them to lay down.
Yeah.
Aus, couscous! Leave.
But couscous outside. When Sharkon passed away, Gunnar had lived his whole life with him. Sharkon was a puppy, and we had him like maybe a year or two before we got Gunnar. But he just started acting weird, like depressed. Aww. He wasn't playing anymore, and it was just really bizarre. And you can tell he was confused as to like, where's my buddy at?
Where's my bro?
Yeah, you can see animals, a few, like the week after another animal in your home dies, they look for them.
Yeah. And now
they look at you and they look around like, where the hell's Buffy, guys? Yeah. Where's Buffy?
And
the
after
one that
happened,
really slow.
Now he's like, he needs to be around my aunt. Like, he needs to be around her. If she leaves us alone with him, he'll just look for her.
He's like, gotta fill that void.
Yeah,
is this your aunt's
or maybe he's afraid that someone's gonna take her away now.
Maybe.
They took away his buddy. Now
he's guarding her.
Maybe they'll take away my other friend.
Yeah.
I asked the question, what annoys you about babies? Because we were talking about it earlier. And I got some response. Katie Lalonde, a recent mother, says when they don't sleep. Jennifer Baird tells a story how when she was a nanny, she would try to figure out what each cry means. In other words, lack of communication.
Yeah.
Cheryl Manley says they're tough. Their meat is tough. So I don't know if she's eating them.
Wait,
I think that's what's implied.
And
their meat is not tough at all. Is the thing.
And Annie Rick says,
"There's no way that baby meat could be tough.
She must not be cooking them right."
Thank you.
They're lobster.
And Annie Rick says, "They always smell like Cheerios, or my Cheerios always smell like babies." Thank you for communicating with us via Facebook.
I think it's babies' cries are supposed to be the most irritating noise to the human ear for an evolutionary purpose. Yeah. That once you hear a baby's cry. You must help the baby.
Throw them off the airplane.
And it's irritating to us because we know, we actually know by looking, the baby is not in danger, but our instincts keep fighting our knowledge, saying, danger, danger, something's wrong, and it's just a baby, and it's fine, it's in its mother's arms, but it's upset.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why babies' cries are so upsetting to us.
I can't imagine what it would be like, though, to be a baby and just everything around you is new.
It's infuriating.
I can't imagine what that's like.
It's got to be so confusing and angry.
It's so weird that we've all gone through it, but none of us can remember it.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. I know a lot of you guys know this. I dated a girl for off and on for a few years who had a baby. And
I thought you were going to say who was a baby. That must have been weird.
Yeah, it was cool. I was really interested. I knew him since he was like 2 weeks old. And
wow.
And I wanted to see what it was like to give him his first Oreo. I was like, I want to be there when you give him his first Oreo.
Oh, cool.
Like, because that's got to be the coolest face a human can make is when it's like, holy crap, this is delicious.
This is straight energy. Sugar is just energy.
I will only eat this from now on.
Yeah, like, and it was interesting that he, like, flipped out. And the same with ice cream.
That's an interesting idea, though, is baby's first experience with everything.
Oh, God, that's, like, gotta be the thing that keeps you going as a parent.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's so many other shitty things, but then you're like, oh, man, I introduced him to orange.
I fed my nephew eggs and then ice cream.
In that order?
Yeah. During Mother's Day. Beach. We were at a brunch, and I was like, I went to my sister, I'm like, Caroline.
Raw eggs when I'm
had, no, they were cooked.
Melting the baby.
No. I was like, Caroline, can I try giving him eggs or ice cream? She's like, well, pick one of them. I'm like, okay. And then she walked away.
Take that, you bastard.
So I
Nick! Took,
like, he's got like a little baby spoon that you put things on.
Yeah.
And then I put like a little egg thing, spoon. And then he, like, put it in his mouth, and he just had this, like, smile, like, wait, what is... And then he just, biggest baby smile ever. I'm like, he's had eggs. He loves them.
You gave him eggs for the first time.
And then 30 seconds later, it was vanilla ice cream with, like, whipped cream on it.
You got vanilla points on him.
It was awesome. He liked ice cream more. He also got spoon points on me, too.
Oh, really? Baby spoon points.
Nice.
Because he likes to grab things, so my sister gives him a spoon to play with. I didn't know this, so I was at the buffet line, and I came back. And I sat down, and I was like, oh, where's Cash? And I look around, and he just has a spoon, and he just starts hitting me with his spoon because he wants to play with me. Only it's a metal spoon that's hitting me. And I was like, this... It's not fun.
Babies are jerks, man. They're fucking selfish as shit.
They really can get away with it.
And they're just mean sometimes.
I know. It's always like, mine.
Oh, it's total. I remember when Jess's kid was around, and it was so tense with me and this guy.
Yeah, hot. Yeah.
I was just like, I didn't really know.
Sometimes I would bring them over in Castelvi's home, and, you know, when he was really young, he liked you a lot.
Did he? Because he was a jerk. He was a jerk to me. I was giving all my best material. He didn't care at all.
Well, that's when he got older and he started hating. He hated men because all of them hit on
him. Castelvi, what do you define as your best material?
I was like, hey, what's going on, man? What do you want to watch TV? It's just dead silence.
And then nothing. The last time we hung out with him, we played, what were we like? Cops with space cops?
Well, that was when I won him over because he was trying to murder me, if you recall. He took my Nerf plastic axe.
Yeah, not a real axe.
It's not a real axe, but and granted, I shouldn't have a child's toy as a 25-year-old. But he was trying to play with my axe, and he was trying to attack me with him, but I am, of course, bigger and smarter. And so I was just constantly putting it out of his reach is hilarious to me.
Oh, he hated that.
Because he was like on this side of on the right side of me, he crawled over on the left side where the axe was. I just reach over and threw it on the other side. He wasn't saying nice or like, please, can I have it?
That's right,
He was being a jerk. Once he was nice, we played Axe Warriors for like an hour and a half, man. We had to go to a show that day.
That's right.
Can we talk about how gross babies are?
They are really gross.
Although the diaper genie is an awesome invention.
What? Well, not just that.
Is that like a litter box?
You have the same thing for our cats, yeah.
Yeah,
you
know,
What is the diaper genie?
It's a garbage can that you can throw your baby in the nose.
Changing diaper.
That, piece of shit.
That every time you throw the diaper
it's
in
untraceable.
There, no, but it like seals it. It seals it in its own little bag, and then it goes down, so like it doesn't smell at all.
So it puts baby poop into individual baggies for you.
Yeah, and like seals it, and then so that way it still ends up being in one big bag. So it
doesn't dispense like a sausage link of baby shit bags.
It's individually wrapped.
Does it?
That's what I was imagining. I thought you'd get like sausage links of baby shit.
So
turns it into soft serve.
It like
a mile long, dude. You know, diaper genie sausage. Oh,
Just take it down your street and have a parade.
Does it at least
if you ever
smell
baby poop, baby poop smells
like,
awful.
Like poop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's you gotta get
poop. Baby poop does not smell like poop. It smells worse.
Baby poop has a very distinctive smell.
Dude, I assure you,
it's
though,
not marshmallows.
Like, we don't play this game in our life of just wait till people take terrible poops and then go into that room and hang out there.
Clean the bathrooms.
Because that's not how the world works.
Your job every day. I smell a lot of different poop smells. And it's not a pleasant part
I know,
of my
but
day.
You don't like baby. Like, you're stuck to hang out with that stupid baby. So you're stuck with the smell. Like,
I was told that when babies are first born, their poop is like orange.
Yeah.
It's salt and sun and shit.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It must be like the weirdest shit ever.
Sometimes it's green.
Oh, yeah, fucking that's so weird.
Yeah, but your poop can be green if you drink like purple Gatorade too much.
But not orange.
But you ever had an orange? Not orange. There is no, orange is not right. But green can happen.
If you eat a lot of carrots, everything turns orange on a baby.
Their
skin will turn orange. No, did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Slightly orange hue.
Feed them, but if you just stuff them full of carrots, man, only orange. Orange, not orange.
Is that part of the fun of having a baby? Is just feeding them with too much?
Turning them colors? Yeah.
No, the best part about having a baby, and this is what I've been told, is you just get to dress them however you want.
Yeah,
you get to put him in the stupid. It's like a living doll. You just it's like, well, you're wearing this today.
You can't read.
I love really cute Halloween costumes on babies and like small children.
Ah, Christopher was a pumpkin his first year. That was adorable.
So cute.
Tiny was a little vampire Dracula.
I was Lionel one time.
Because he had a widow's beak.
Lisa and Lauren, did you guys have to do or have the option to do the thing in high school where you would take a baby home?
No,
did any of high schools have this?
I did it.
Like an egg.
Wait, you did it?
Can like a human doll?
It's a doll.
I had a robo baby for a weekend.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I had a robo baby for a weekend.
Wow, they didn't let
Were you supposed to have it longer? And it just didn't only work for a weekend?
No, you have to take it home and take care of it for a weekend.
I thought it was like a week.
I think
my weekend.
No, they were not about to have their classes interrupted by these robo babies. Only our lives were to be interrupted by robot babies. They're these babies, and they don't love you.
That's probably training you for life.
That's probably the worst part. You do all this work, and the thing doesn't even. It's a robot. It'll never know. And, you know, you dress it up in clothes and you have to deal with it. And then sometimes it'll cry and you have to take this key and you have to put it in its back.
In the baby's back.
Stab it.
And turn
it's like
it
a real baby.
And you have to turn it. And here's the thing that you have to like hold the key there and it's spring loaded pushing back. So you have to hold it like a slight amount of force to keep it turned. So it doesn't just turn and you can let go of it. You have to hold it there or else it'll snap back. And it'll cry for like an hour sometimes.
Wow.
And you have to sit there.
Holding
the key in its back for an hour.
Oh,
and if you like slipped, would it start over?
Yeah.
Oh, that would ruin my day.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
I would take the batteries out.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. They have sensors, so you can't.
And I'm sure you probably can't just leave the key, you know, strategically turned in, like wedged up against the bookcase
or
something.
I bet you can. But clever students did.
No, I just
rules.
I put my hand in a position. I put my hand just in a position where I could just hold it and not think about it, and I just like
smothered it.
Well, it doesn't breathe, so whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you keep that key turned, it won't wake you up as you sleep. You can sleep with your hands sort of stuck there, so you can fucking deal with your life.
There's got to be that. I guarantee they don't do that experiment with that your school anymore.
Why did you opt into this?
No, I've heard of that. Where like
it wasn't optional.
Parents would complain.
Some people had to do it. It was either you know, you took home economics or you took this class, and one of the classes was the baby class. And like if everybody signed up for home ec where you got to bake shit and nobody signed up for the baby with the key in its back, you get the baby with its key in its back.
My brother Brian, he put his in the freezer apparently.
See, I said clever minds would try him.
Wait, how did that help him?
He was just out of the way, probably.
Yeah, he just
didn't have to.
My mom found it, and then
was horrifying. What a sight to see when you open
the freezer.
I'm going for some waffles. There's a baby in my
like probably at a weird angle.
With a key stabbed in its back.
You're telling me it's not just a baby; it's a frozen baby.
With the eyes are slowly blinking red and slowly fading.
But it's got that key.
And steam is rising and a wire is poking out of its ear.
I assume its arm is bent backwards because it just got rotated.
Guys, this robot wasn't that complex. It was really just a plastic shell with a motor in it that would make it cry every so often.
But it looked like a baby.
Did it pee and poop? Like,
no, it didn't do anything.
I feel like freezing it would break it.
Yeah.
I don't know if
much
it did.
Much like in life.
There were dolls when we were growing up, Lisa, that, like, I remember as a present, like, as a Christmas or Hanukkah present, and, like, the dolls peed and pooped. Like,
yeah, were you
know,
girls into those dolls? Because I saw commercials for those, and I was like, how would you ever
be
into
that? That doll, you guys have to remember this, that you fed it food, but then, like,
it ate a girl's hair.
Yeah, it ate some girl's hair, but didn't stop eating. And it, like, ate her scalp, and it, like, ate her head.
What?
Oh, holy that is awesome.
David Lord.
The girl's head.
Not
that's not
her entire head, but it, like,
some
went
of her
into
skin.
Her
some
scalp.
Of her skin.
Yeah,
so
it just stopped eating.
It got a little bit of scalp, but it did not eat a girl's head.
But still, like, a robot baby.
How long do you think that would take? That thing, it would eat all of her hair.
God, if you had...
Probably an hour.
It depends on... Like,
it was probably quick, because why wouldn't she just grab scissors?
It's too stupid. That
is stupid. It's a kid.
She put a baby eating doll on her head.
They probably didn't even have the scissors that really could cut the hair.
I think, like, scalp and further would be considered your head. Like, it just
it doesn't go further than the scalp.
She got scalped by the fucking doll.
It was a small, it was a doll size.
Well, this girl's problem was that she's supposed to feed the doll carrots, not her hair.
Right? Stupid child.
Typical little blonde girl decides, you know what would be funny? My hair in this thing's mouth, because I'm a demon child, because they're no longer babies. They're starting to turn into horrible monsters.
2-year-olds,
babies are cute.
Do you guys get told any horror stories about when you were babies?
I ate a worm.
You ate a worm.
Yeah, we knew about it.
I've heard that story. Everywhere. I listened to that podcast.
I also slept in the fire truck. I bit a dog. This dog was fucking with me, and I didn't like it.
So I bit it.
And it was hair and all. It was like a little cocker spaniel, so it was like my size, baby size. And so I said, I had this animal that was my size getting in my shit. He kept going. It was, you know, yipping.
Kept
whatever.
Trying to play with you and show you affection.
No, it was like yipping at. It was a threat. It's a threat. So
fudgy
attachment.
B-Wo doesn't take.
Did you? What happened? Did the?
I bit the dog.
And then the dog away.
In the jugular? You kill it?
No,
what happened?
I'm a baby, Castelvi. I only got fur.
Okay.
I'm not a savage. I'm a baby.
It sounds so you bit it where?
Even the most
in tail?
Even the most savage baby cannot really kill.
I didn't know what kind of baby you were. I wasn't there.
Just a baby.
Maybe you just
feral.
Had strategically placed teeth that made it like awesome to kill a dog.
I bit a lot when I was little.
You bit a lot?
Yeah.
I
was
heard
a
about,
biter, but I was scared of the damn dog. So I bit a good lock of his hair off.
There you go.
World according to
you gotta do what you gotta do when you're a baby.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess that doll, Lisa, is really legit. I mean, that must be what it's like to have a kid. Sometimes your kid will bite your scalp off.
I don't know, man.
Simulate.
I don't think people realize, like, how much responsibility having a baby
is. Like, what's the Madden football of dolls?
Wait,
like the
what?
Best simulator, the most accurate
for baby
simulator.
Dolls. Though.
Yeah, for baby dolls. Like, what's the most accurate baby doll?
I don't think it must.
There's
be.
One
because
that
they
pee,
had
there,
water babies.
There's one that pees
babies.
And poops now.
The jiggle.
Yeah, the Cabbage Patch had like a little birth certificate and stuff.
Cabbage Patch had yeah. The birth
that was like
depending on how much money they have, hair. I bet you can get like totally legit like. Fucking like lifelike,
like an almost baby.
Yeah, like trick babies.
I don't know what that is.
Tricked out baby.
No, just
like an MTV show.
Just stole the podcast.
There'd be
she
like
just stole the podcast.
Like a Pimp My Baby show.
It's like with sick ass wheels, fucking soaring across
just
the living
a baby
room.
Wearing a shirt that just says fuck on it.
Yo, dog, I heard you like babies.
Dude, people do that with their babies, though.
I think that'd be hilarious.
Well, it all goes back to you get to dress your baby however you want. So if you want to bling your baby out, go right ahead, because that's yours.
Have you ever seen a blinged out baby?
Yeah.
I'd be worried about a baby, like, choking himself on bling.
Or you just get big bling.
You get
the
earrings.
The clip on the bling.
You know what you do? You just attach a chain to the wagon and then put it around the thing's neck.
Of course.
Wait, what?
So that way it's already with the wagon. It doesn't have to...
Like a leash.
Like a leash.
Do you guys ever get baby leashed?
No. Like where they put like, I've seen those babies with like those leashes though.
I had
I had a wrist one
that connected from my. It was almost like handcuffs, but with like an extended rope, like a leash.
Because
I was a runner, so
you ran away a lot.
I like whenever they would take me to the mall, I would just make a mad dash for it. Do whatever the hell I wanted.
Yeah. Were any guys born like way early or way late?
I was.
Yeah, it was like a few weeks early.
I think I was right on time.
Yeah, I was born quick and easy. 2 weeks early.
Ugh. A Mark is never late. He arrives exactly when he means to.
What up, Mark? I'm here now.
Check off Lord of the Rings reference.
I think 5 weeks early.
That's a lot.
Yeah. You were a preemie.
I was a preemie.
Preemie.
I had to be in an incubator.
Yeah.
Lauren, you're the person that talks about your preeminess the most of anyone that I know. And like, reference it in conjunction with things. He's like, this is, like, I'm sickly sometimes because I was premature.
Preem.
Well, because when I was little, like, you know how you would stand in the front of your classroom getting ready for the class pick? I was always the littlest one. I was really, really tiny, and, you know, everybody would always make fun of me, and I'd be like, my only defense was, I'm a preemie.
You showed them.
But, like, so
good
I don't
God,
know.
Good God, Lauren.
And awesome. My friends, my two best friends, Jenny and Melissa, they always refer to me as preemie because my mom treated me like a preemie for like ever. Like anytime they want to take me out and do something, be careful, you know.
Don't forget to wear your helmet.
Yeah, yeah.
Enjoy your date.
Have a good day. Put on your helmet.
Remember, you're a preemie.
You're a preemie.
You be nice to my daughter. She was born really early.
I felt sure she would die right there and then.
Don't be too rough on her in softball. She's a preemie.
Now that's exactly what.
If you're feeling her rough, wear some cotton gloves. She's a preemie.
Have her back by 8. She was born prematurely.
I'm sorry, Lauren.
It's
what
great.
A life you've led.
No, but just so I'm so open about it because I've always had to deal with it, I guess.
That's an awesome sitcom.
You know, my parents didn't make a big deal out of my shit as a baby, so I was lucky about that. But as a baby, I vomited a lot.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I vomited, like, all the time.
I don't remember vomiting a bunch.
If you held me, you had to have a towel on your shoulder.
My parents always...
Because I would likely vomit on you.
How often do you vomit?
Like
every
like,
time someone picked you up?
Vomiting for me was like farting for a human.
Ugh.
Like the amount of times you probably fart in a day, compact that into like, you know, the
just
times that
into
a
different human barfing.
Vomit. No, I just vomit it. Ugh. It wouldn't be like a full on, like all the time.
You just spit up.
But a lot of babies do that.
My parents said that I always would get this look in my eye anytime that I was doing something that I didn't want to do. They were forcing me to do something, and they know it was coming.
What the
and
fuck
I would
is
just
this?
Anywhere in public, at home, didn't matter.
Well, as a baby, you can't communicate.
Wait,
so did you just gave them a look?
It was like a defense mechanism.
I don't know what it was.
That look that says awesome. It's time now.
Run!
There it comes.
Fly, you fools.
But how embarrassing is that? Like, you know, you have the kid that vomits.
Well, it's more embarrassing if you grow up and you're still like that.
Yeah. If you just vomit like 4 to 7 times a day at random with little to no warning.
Like, except for that look in your eye.
Yeah.
The only person, the only human I know that can do that is Steve-O.
But at least it's not an accident for him. At least it's just like you're sitting down on the red line and somebody else comes in at the Belmont stop, and as they're walking, just
that can happen.
Let me tell that story real quick. All right, this is like it was the most perfect moment that only happened to me in a group, like a platform of crowd of people. Oh, no. I'm coming home from work. I'm on the L, and this guy, this nicely dressed guy, walks up. He's in my line of sight. I'm at a window. I happen to be looking this way. I'm just zoning out. I notice this guy. The train starts moving, and like just as it like comes to me, I turn to because I looked away and I turn back, and he just vomits, and then walks away, like as if like because no one saw him. Everyone was turned away, like because they were going this way. It was just the most perfect. Like, only me and this guy know that he vomited, and I wanted to be like, did you see? Because no one would believe me. Like, because I sound like a crazy person.
It's just a man in a suit.
Did you see that? And, like, no one had seen it. No one. It was the grossest, like, vomit. It was, like, fucking white vomit. It was, like, it was everywhere. And he just walked like it was no big deal. Like, bleh, and then just walked.
Where did he vomit on?
Like, on the L, on the platform. He's just on the platform. Did
he vomit on the tracks?
No, like on the platform, like walk, like sprayed it like Exorcist blood, man. Just like, then walks away.
Spider walks upstairs
in a suit. Like he was like he wasn't drunk. He was just sitting.
Like on his way to work somewhere.
Yeah, and he's just like, and then all of a sudden we start moving. But a second he's out of my field, and just white, disgusting.
I say
shit, and then walks away. It was so infuriating because I was like, no one's ever going to believe that if I ever talk. Because only me and this guy would know.
You guys ever vomited like on a train or moving vehicle?
No, I don't think so.
I've gotten off the L.
When I was a kid, I had a terrible, terrible headache one day, and I begged the nurse to let me go home, and she wouldn't let me go home early. So finally, I get out of class, I run to my mom's car, and I'm like, Mom, I feel sick, I feel terrible, I have this headache, we got to go home. We had my next door neighbor with me. And on the way home, I got sick, and I threw up out the window of the passenger seat. It came back.
No!
Smacked it right on the face. And that's how I learned about physics.
Oh, my God. Very, very similar to me. I was driving a friend who had a hangover. And same thing. She's just, I didn't know. She was puking outside the window, and the wind was going really fast. The opposite way, it was like coming around onto my windshield, and I was like, is it raining? And she was like, no, I'm just up. And I was like, And then another time, one of my friends, we were going past like a Chili's, like a family restaurant, and literally she was like, pull over, like right now, right like up in front of the restaurant, and just blows her load completely. Like there's tons of families.
Why do you say it like that?
That's not the right phrase.
No, dude, that's totally right.
Dude, I got sick and blew my load.
Blue chunks.
If we're going down this road, then
if we're going to talk about vomit, then there's always the vomit chain.
Oh yeah.
When someone vomits, it's usually with children, because only in children does this really happen.
No, this happens to me too.
And you know, somebody, a kid vomits or a baby vomits, and then the other babies, you know, gives the smell and they get the sight. They vomit too. It's just children vomiting everywhere.
And so on and so on.
What was your first memory?
Oh, I know this.
Like period.
I got this one.
Like, how far back does it go?
McCool's got it.
I've actually played this game, like, in my head, like, on the train going back for, like, Mother's Day. Mine, the earliest thing I can, like, visually remember is in my kitchen in Palatine, my parents' house, and, like, I think it was my mom holding me, and there's like baby food like in a white like dish, and that's like it's a weird thing. It must have been like not even one. It's like it's. Wow, it took me like an hour. I was like, I wonder how far. It was like going farther and farther back. I was like, okay, I remember like playing with Thundercats toys in mom's car. I bet I can go further back than that. And I was like,
it's
remember?
Like Inception.
It's like it is. It's like Inception. Yeah.
So how do you try and trigger those memories? Do you like think of something that
I think of my house where I grew up?
Okay,
and then I think of like the kitchen. I remember I was thinking of like my deck, and I remember crawling under my deck. I was thinking about my couch, where I used to crawl under my couch, because I would hide toys under there.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Yeah, you just picture, like, your house, or wherever you grew up, and, like, zone in on a certain area, and you can almost trigger, like, memories. It's kind of cool.
I remember that far back, like, when I was a baby. And then when I think I do, I'm like, oh, wait, no, that was just a home video, or, like...
I have the same thing, because my dad would videotape everything, and then, like, make fun of us on them. But we've seen those so much that, like...
I love this theme.
And so I would just think, like... You know, I'd think I was remembering something, but then I'd realize I was remembering it in third person because it was just a videotape.
Yeah.
Superman.
Did you ever find out if they have the video of the Superman?
My mom actually referenced it the other day because when we were at Mother's Day...
You need to get this.
My little cousin was running around who is, like... When I was a kid, I was scared of things. He's got every book I ever see him with is just pictures of terrifying animals attacking each other.
Zoo books?
No, it was like
National Geographic.
It was from like the National Scholastic Society. It was called Predator versus Predator. And it was just pictures of animals like baring their teeth, and then it would be like who would win in a fight. It was probably great
for
kids.
Awesome.
That
is
great.
Yeah, it was just really intense for like a 7-year-old.
It's a great baby book.
Things are not that intense for kids. Kids can handle a lot of intense shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
babies?
Yes. Babies can put up with a lot. I mean, I know we've referenced it in this podcast, but we haven't really talked about that documentary, Babies. Those babies go through a lot of shit. There's the one baby
in Mongolia,
and there's the rooster that's fucking walking around the baby. That's intense. That
it's
rooster
just like
has sharp talons.
It's just like a goat walking by, right?
Yeah.
And there's this giant camera on them at all times. I'm sure that's not terrifying.
I'm sure. What a weird existence for them. And so many of them dealt with so many different things that were just frightening when you looked at it from their perspective. You know, the one baby's in a bathtub, and he's, like, pretty mellow about it, but right behind him, was a donkey or a horse or something starts...
Yeah, I think it might have been a goat. Yeah, it just comes up and, like...
drinks water from its bathtub while it's bare ass in there.
Monster is drinking from his tub.
I mean, and you know, like, I talk about my encounter with the dog, but I never encountered an animal larger than I, you know.
Do you guys think it's harder to be a baby or an adult?
Oh, God, babies gotta be so tough. I would take adult every time over baby.
It's hard to think about not being able to understand anything.
Yeah.
I would hate to be that
way. It must be very frustrating to be a baby, because there's so much that you don't quite know. You don't know at all. There's other stuff you can't quite grasp the handle on.
But you see other things, like, functioning by themselves, and I would always think, like, why can't I do that? Like, why can't I walk around?
Or maybe even worse, you do know, but you cannot communicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the worst thing is not being able to communicate how you're feeling besides yelps and whatever, you know? Like,
a lot.
And then the people you're talking to have to kind of take their best guess as to what you want, and sometimes they're wrong.
Understand them.
Yeah, it's like being really bad at charades.
It's like,
but it's you have to play it or you get killed. So it's really important. Well, you just have no idea.
It's gotta be terrible. Adult every time over baby. I would always be an adult instead of baby.
Like, you don't have to do anything as a baby. You can just hang out.
No, you don't have to, but you always are, because everything's new.
Sure, but, like, that stuff doesn't make you go to work for 8 hours. But you just sleep half the day and eat stuff.
Sometimes you're forced to deal with colors you don't like.
Oh, boo-hoo.
There's got to be some,
exactly,
you know.
Exactly.
Or sleeping in your poop.
There's got to be a shitload that's just terribly boring, too. Because, like, crib time's got to get old after a while. For a while, when you're a baby during crib time, you can't even, like, walk around and hang out in the crib and the playpen and shit. You're just staring at the ceiling and the same seven little hanging mobile toys forever.
I get it. Green, blue, red, yellow. Green, blue, red, yellow.
Move on!
Someone get me a Shakespeare play.
I bet that shit never gets old for these babies. I bet they're like, fucking sweet, the mobile's still there.
Wow! They actually do. They found out, like, Blue's Clues, they show the same Blue's Clues episode every day of the week.
Yep.
Because they found out that kids, like, unlike adults, kids will actually learn more re-watching it. But they're still just as entertained because now they can put the pieces together faster.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And so, like, when they did studies on it, they found that was so much more effective than, like, a lot of other kids' shows.
So what you're saying is if it's Monday, it's a new Blue's Clues.
Yeah, I know this, too.
Same Blue's Clues?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
Because, like, well, and you know, it teaches a couple quick lessons for younger kids in each episode, and they'll end up cementing that by repetition. They hear that same message or lesson five times.
It'll
get
an awesome programming
what
strategy.
Happens when it'll get them used to reruns, too.
Watch Blue's Clues like Clockwork Orange.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. I don't know. Probably, like, explode or something.
Like, but you force them to watch Clockwork Orange?
Yeah, just in the loop over.
Oh, you mean to force you to watch Blue's Clues? Like in the movie Clockwork Orange.
Exactly.
Okay, I was totally lost.
Wait,
I thought they had to watch Clockwork Orange.
Not like we should.
It's a terrible movie.
What if you made babies watch Clockwork Orange and deal with that?
Every day at 10 a.m.
It's a great piece of cinema. I will give it that.
Might as well just stick a key in their back.
Put them in the freezer.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking down at our clock. I'm realizing it's just about time to wrap up. But good baby cool talk, everybody. What do you?
Cool knows what's coming.
Oh, God damn it!
You're thinking of this.
You didn't even think.
You've been exposed, sir.
Yeah.
Now, those who follow the podcast, and those who may have caught the article on the website in the past week, Makula has at some point claimed that his strung together seven words of wisdom collectively make a story. Scott has already proven this wrong by researching past podcasts and putting it all together. So now McCool is caught in the act, and he still has to make this up because I'm still going to make him do it. That being said, it's almost time to go, but before we do, it's time for McCool's seven words.
Wisdom.
Hey. Does anyone know the song that goes...
This has been McCoola's seven words of wisdom.
So at that point, we're still in court with Al Capone.
Excellent.
It makes sense if you're a madman.
This is awful. Just awful. You guys, I can't believe you even give time to this.
This is just the
why don't we have like a Castelvi Toots or something?
Castelvi Toots?
What would that be?
Wait, poop noises is what I just assumed.
You grab your horn and play a little ditty.
Or I'm playing some music.
I don't know.
Either. Or Makula, you have some sort of idea by the look on your face.
Or Lisa's golf advice.
I love Lisa's golf advice. Lisa, can you give your golf advice for the day?
Right now.
Okay. And now it's time for Lisa's golf advice.
When golfing, imagine that there's a face on your actual golf ball so that when you're hitting it, you can aim right for the face.
Thanks for listening.
Hike
Lisa's
golf advice.
Home run.
RBIs. Bowling.
Thank you. Finally, a replacement. You're fired.
No, I got something better.
No, I think we need to do both. And maybe whatever else Nick is going to say.
I'm sorry, Nick. No, you're not fired.
Nick was going to... You have an idea.
Because I will continue to do 7 words of wisdom, and I promise you a story will continue.
All right.
If Castelvi can play the saxophone during it.
Oh, God, dude. You know I have no idea how to play the saxophone.
Welcome to the club.
Oh. Wait, you didn't know how to play the saxophone?
No, I have no idea what I'm doing with 7 words of wisdom.
Oh, just, okay. Yeah. But you did play saxophone.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Just end it, Tim. Okay.
All right. That's about it. Check back every Monday for a fresh podcast. Again, apologies to the live stream listeners. We'll be back with internet up and running in
tonight,
the next
if you're
podcast.
Listening to this now.
Yeah.
On Monday.
Maybe. So with that being said, see you next time. Have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Go run for your life. You're running out of time. Closing lots of doors.
He's coming back for no one.
I want to do plane and then we're going to fly. Fly to Los Angeles all morning.
We're going to have 4 segments that aren't the coolest words of wisdom.